Hebrews chapter 12. And just want to say welcome to each of you again. We're so thankful that you're in the Lord's house today. What a great worship service we've had this morning. And just good singing, great music on the instruments. And I believe that God has been praised and that He has been glorified today here in this place. Amen. I want to point you to our newest addition in the family of instruments up here on the stage. Everybody see the little piano? Isn't that nice? This is a baby grand piano, or a grand. Is it a grand? It's a baby grand. That's what I thought. This is a grand baby piano. So just wanted to point out the differences. But it's just so cute, isn't it? Just so cute. Well, there's a theme that runs through the New Testament, and that theme is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has come, Jesus says, and you know, John the Baptist preached the kingdom is at hand, and to repent. And so, Paul writes about the mystery that was kept secret in the Old Testament, now revealed in the New Covenant, that is the church. And the church is the bedrock foundation of the kingdom of God. And Jesus is the King, and He sets up His kingdom in our heart, in our lives. And I promise you that if you are saved and you're born again Christian of God, I promise you the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, lives within you, because that is a promise from God that He is with you. He will be in you, the Bible says. And so the King is on His throne, and I promise you that there is no one can dethrone the King, Jesus Christ. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. Someday every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so He has been highly exalted. He is sitting there at the right hand of the throne of God on high today as our mediator and our advocate. And He is there for us, taking a spot there, keeping a spot there for the church. And someday He will call us home to be in His eternal kingdom. And I'm excited that I get to be a part of the kingdom of God. The church ought to be about the kingdom of God, building the kingdom of God. In Revelation chapter 4, just briefly, I'll share this with you. There is going to come a day when everything that we know is rolled up like a scroll and burned up like with fire. Everything, the universe as we know it, will come to an end. And the one who owns it all by right is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can take the title deed to the universe and unroll it, to take the scroll and read what the end will be and how it's going to, everything is going to be consummated at the end. He owns it, so He gets to decide what happens to it. And I tell you, I want to be where He is. I want to be with Him when everything is burned up by fire and everything is destroyed that He's made. And then He'll make all things new. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. And I don't know a whole lot about what that's going to look like, because He doesn't write a whole lot about the new heaven and the new earth. But I do know this. We, the church of God, we'll enter into that new heaven and new earth, because we'll be with the King who makes everything new again. And Hebrews chapter 12 is really the... I skipped all of the book to get you to that last, almost to the last chapter, because that's the pinnacle. That's the high watermark of the book of Hebrews, if you will. And so we're going to climb to the summit, and we're going to look off today and see what God has for us as it relates to the King, to His kingdom, and us being in it. Now, here's what I want us to take away from this day. that we're grateful that He's made us children of His who get to be a part of the kingdom. I want us to be grateful that we're in the kingdom today, the kingdom of God. So let's read together, and we're going to start in verse 18 of chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews. For you have not come to a mountain that can be touched, and to a blazing fire, and to darkness and gloom and whirlwind, and to the blast of the trumpet, and the sound of words, which was such that those who heard begged that no further word could be spoken to them. I want you to just underline mentally, file away those words, "you have not come," there in that first verse that I read. For they could not bear, verse 20 says, the command, "If even a beast touched the mountain, it will be stoned." And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, "I am full of fear and trembling." But you have come. Now make a note of that and circle that, or right under that. You have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than that blood of the sacrifice of Abel. Now verse 25, "See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven." This expression, "yet once more," denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Wow, what a powerful text. I mean, we're looking off the mountaintop, if you will, at what God said to us. And what a wonderful word that He said. I just want to stop and thank Him. Father, I praise You for Your word. It's so powerful. It's living. It's alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing between soul and spirit. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. Oh God, help us to draw near to You. Thank You that You'll draw near to us. God, we want You to be blessed, and we want to bless You, for You are great and good God. We love You, Father. Now speak, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is the site of this whole text. Paul, as I believe, is writing to the Hebrew Christians who are scattered abroad in Rome. And he says to them, you don't need to sacrifice anymore. You don't need to go to the high priest at the temple anymore. You don't need all the ritual anymore. Jesus is greater than all of that. He's greater than the temple. He's greater than the high priest. Even Aaron, he's greater than Moses. He's greater than any sacrifice that could be given. He is more better than anything that you've ever seen or heard or written. Jesus is the top. And so because He's the top, because He's better and greater than all these things, here's the deal. You've not come to Mount Sinai. You've come to a different mountain. You've come to the mountain of Zion. You've come to the holy mountain, Jerusalem. You've come to a place both spiritually and eschatologically. Say that with me, please. You've come to that place. You've come to that place that's better than what you read about, than what they experienced in the Old Testament. Now, he takes them to Mount Sinai in this text. He said, that place was fearful. It was a place of trembling. It was a place awe-inspiring. When Moses went up on that mountain, the mountain was covered with the fire and the smoke of an almighty, the presence of God had come down on that mountain. And the mountain shook when God was there. I mean, the rocks shook when God spoke. And there was a trumpet, he said, that there was a blast from that trumpet that, if you read back in Leviticus, it got louder and louder with every trumpet blow. And Moses was to warn the people, don't touch the mountain. Don't try to come up the mountain where God is. You can't come up here. If you try it, we've got to stone you to death. If you touch it, God will kill you. Don't come up. If an animal comes close, we've got to kill that animal. Don't do it. Moses would come down off that mountain and his face was aglow because he'd been in the presence. It was a special place. It was a holy place, a reverent place, and it was an awe-inspiring place. But the writer of Hebrews says, that's not the mountain that you've come to. You didn't come to the mountain where the law was given, where demands were laid down, and if you didn't obey those demands, it was death. You didn't come to that mountain. The law brings condemnation. You're not coming there. You're coming to a place of forgiveness, of grace, because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Holy One. You've come to a place called Zion. You've come to a place that's a new covenant. Not that that old was done away with, but the old was fulfilled in Jesus. It was completely taken care of in Jesus Christ. He didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law. And He fulfilled it. Every I was dotted. Every T was crossed. He didn't leave anything undone. And on the cross, when He hung there and bled there, He said, it is finished. It's finished. Everything I was supposed to do has been completed. And so Jesus Christ came to a new and living mountain, spiritually and physically. And eschatologically, He came to a new place and started a new covenant. There's a change of scenery, if you will, that the writer of the Hebrews is declaring to us. He says in verse 18, the word not draws a stark contrast between that old place and that new place, between law and between grace. And so when we came to Jesus, we didn't come to law. We didn't come to a place where He couldn't be reached. He couldn't be touched. Because as Hebrews said, He was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Because He was made in our likeness and gave His life for us. He came to where He could touch us and we could touch Him. Watch this. He is our mediator. There's one God and one mediator, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all, 2 Timothy says in verse chapter 2 and verse 6. Jesus is the new and living way to the Father that we didn't have before. I want you to understand this, that Zion is a city of promise. It is a city of peace. It is a place not where God's law is laid down, but where God's law is fulfilled. And now we can live in peace with God the Father. I quote, this: the distinction drawn between Sinai and Zion shows us that Christ perfectly fulfilled what Sinai represented. Christians do not come to Sinai since Christ fulfilled the law. Jesus did not nullify or invalidate the Old Testament law. Rather, He did what no sinful human could do. He perfectly obeyed and fulfilled the law. He fulfilled it in its letter and in its spirit, which means that he obeyed it externally and internally with his behavior and in his heart. Thus, because of Christ's work, Sinai now stands as a mountain of fulfillment. That fulfillment, of course, occurred in Jerusalem on Mount Sinai, Calvary. And Jesus satisfied the Father. And it was sufficient, a sufficient sacrifice. Now, when we come to this new mountain, this new living place, it says there, when you've come to Mount Zion and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, you've come to several things. You've come to several personalities. First of all, he said, when you've come to Christ, you've come to faith in Christ in this new and living way, you've come to myriads of angels. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we've come to the guardian angel, where they are, to the cherubim, to the seraphim, where they are, to Michael and Gabriel, to where they are, to ministering angels, where they are, to those angels which cover their feet and cover their eyes, and then they have another set of wings that they fly around the throne, the Bible says, and they cry, "Holy, holy, holy." We have come to that place. You say, "Well, Brother Joe, we're not there yet." Oh, yes, you are. You're spiritually there right now in heaven. Christ is seated there and you're seated with Him in the heavenlies. You are there spiritually, just not physically yet. You have come to myriads of angels. You've come to angels innumerable. You're there. Act like you're there. You're there. Glory to God. Holy is the Father. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul and making me whole. Thank you. That's the way we ought to be, because we're in the presence of angels around the throne of God. But not only did we come to that, he said we've come to be together with the assembly of the firstborn. That's all those listed in chapter 11. If you've read Hebrews, studied Hebrews, you know that's the chapter of faith. And there's all of those that have gone on in faith. There's Abraham, there's Isaac, there's Sarah, there's Moses, there's Enoch. There's all those people listed there, plus some. And then when you come to verse 1 of chapter 12, it says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses, heaven is full of people that have gone on before us, and we are there spiritually. We just haven't arrived yet physically." You're there because you've come to this holy mountain, the Mountain Zion, the New Jerusalem, if you will. We're part of the assembly of the firstborn. We're also joining God, the judge, and we're also joining the spirits of the righteous made perfect. I'm telling you, for the saved, being with God the Father is a day of unbelievable glory. I want to say that again. Being with the Father is a day of unbelievable. You are approaching God. We can't even fathom how awesome that is. Our little finite minds can't even grasp how good that is. But we are approaching a God who holds all things in His hands. We can't even see how big this thing is. God holds it in His hands. He breathed stars out of His mouth and gave them each one a name. That's how glorious and how big a God we're coming to. And we're there. We can enter into the very throne room of God by way of Jesus Christ. Think about that. The throne of grace. We can come into that place and let our requests be made known and find grace and mercy. I don't know about y'all, but I'm finna get up here and start shouting. I'm fixing to do some. I'm getting excited about this. That's where we are. And to the spirits gone on before. Now, those loved ones that have gone on to be with Jesus, they're there in spirit. They're going to get a body. They're going to get a body. A new body. They're there in spirit, and we're there with them. You don't know it yet, but you're there. Wouldn't it be awesome While we're meeting here today, we didn't even get to finish this week out and have Thanksgiving dinner with all our friends and our family. But Jesus just said, oh man, Father, isn't it time? Yes, son, it's time. Go get them. Wouldn't it be awesome? The old guy would step out there and toot his horn. And this old body be translated on the way up and changed into that eternal form, whatever it's going to look like. Man, I'm glad we're getting new bodies, aren't you? Some of y'all say, man, mine's worn smooth out. We're going to get a new body. And all those people that have gone on before, they're going to go first. Their body's going to... I don't know how all this is going to happen, but God knows, and that's all that matters. But the spirit and the body that's going to be resurrected, it's going to meet somewhere up there, and then we're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds, and we'll ever be with them. So comfort one another with these words. That's awesome. Well, we're there. Well, I'm grateful to be a part of the new kingdom, aren't you? The kingdom of God. When he said the kingdom of God is at hand, you know what that means? It's at hand. It's right there. It's there. See? It's there. The kingdom of God is at hand. And we're in it. Not that it's coming, but it's here. You're in it. I'm glad to be in the kingdom of God. I can't wait to get, maybe I just go ahead and get there. It's a kingdom that is unshakable. Unshakable. How many times has this old world seen kings shake? How many times has this world seen kingdoms crumble and fall? How many times? Over and over again. How many of you know that you can't find the United States in biblical prophecy? You know that, don't you? This kingdom is going to crumble and it's going to go away. Like Brother Dale's teaching on Daniel on Wednesday night, he's been going through the earthly kingdoms laid out in somebody help me. That statue of gold and silver and bronze and iron and clay, iron and then iron and clay. And the gold's crumbled, the silver crumbled, the iron, the brass crumbled, the iron gone. And now we're in the iron and clay, the mixed kingdom. We're there. That's where we are. And then yonder, look at that stone cut out of the mountain without hand. It's cut out. God cuts it out and it comes, stamps all of those different kingdoms into powder, and it becomes a kingdom, a mountain high. It's Jesus. He sets up his kingdom and it will not go away. You're in it. You're there. He said, yet once more, the removing of those things which can be shaken as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude. I mean, when you came into the kingdom, you came not only to angels, not only to God, and not only to the spirits that have gone on before, but you came to Jesus. And you came by way of blood that was better than that of Abel's. What does that mean? Y'all remember Cain and Abel? First two boys? Cain brought of the fruit of the ground, and God did not, he was not pleased. But Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock, And God accepted the sacrifice of Abel. Why? Because it was a blood sacrifice. He accepted it. And he called Abel righteous. Do you remember that? As a matter of fact, you can look back at Hebrews chapter 11. He calls him righteous Abel. But that blood's nothing compared to Jesus' blood. You cannot compare any sacrifice to Jesus' sacrifice. And when you came into the kingdom, you had to come through the blood of Jesus Christ. You didn't get there any other way. You don't come through good works into the kingdom. You don't come through the baptistry to get into the kingdom. We do not believe in baptismal regeneration here at First Baptist Church. You don't get into the kingdom by putting money in the offering plate, by having your name on a church roll. You don't get into the kingdom by doing good deeds in the society. You could give out 25 baskets of Thanksgiving stuff by yourself, and that won't get you into the kingdom. You don't get into the kingdom that cannot be shaken except you come by the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you washed in the blood? In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? We used to sing that, and the song director would say, now when we sing that, you say, yes, I am. Are you washed? Yes, I am. In the blood? Yes, I am. In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Yes, I am. Oh, my goodness. There's no other way into the kingdom. Now watch this, and I'm done. I hadn't even hardly preached my message. He said there in verse 25, see to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. Now the reference is a direct reference back to Sinai. The warning is, don't come close. Don't touch. Reverence God. Be in awe of God. Listen to what He says. And if you don't follow the warning, He said, but now He's speaking not just from earth, from that mountain Sinai, but now He's speaking from heaven. What is He saying? Repent! Repent! I would like to read something that David Platt wrote. It said, our modern culture context, as well as general lack of attentiveness to the text, often causes us to present the gospel in terms of consideration rather than command. This verse, verse 25, helps us see that the gospel is never presented solely as an offer to be considered. It is presented as an ultimatum, as something to be either received or rejected. Presenting the gospel always produces a response. One either hears the gospel and believes it unto salvation, or hears the gospel and rejects it unto eternal judgment. He said, do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those who did not escape when they refused him who were warned from earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. You know, the wrath of God abides on those who refuse to turn. It abides on them right now. John 3:16, 17 and following. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He that believeth, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, for he hath not believed in the only begotten Son of God. You know, really the command today is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Paul preached in Acts 20:20. He said, I ceased not to preach unto you the gospel, which is repent and believe. That's what he said. He was saying to those people there in Acts 20, he was saying, my blood, your blood is not on my hands. I've preached the gospel to everybody in this city that I've had chance to preach to. I preached to them, and now the blood is on your head. That's what he said. Because why? I've preached repentance and faith. You know what? You only have two responses if you've never trusted Jesus Christ. You only have two choices. You can repent and trust in Jesus Christ by faith, or you can refuse and live under the condemnation of God. That's your only two choices. That's it. And here's what he said. Don't think you're going to get away with it. You're not going to escape. They didn't escape whenever he spoke from earth. You're definitely not going to escape him who speaks from heaven. Well, I'm grateful to be in the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, I want to finish with this. He said, therefore, since we have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude. Let us be thankful. All of those of you and I that are in Christ and in heaven, already with Christ, we ought to be so thankful. Every day we ought to get up and say, oh God, thank you for the cross. Thank you for salvation. We ought to live as Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12. We ought to present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him, which is our reasonable service. We ought to do that every day. God, here I am. I'm presenting myself to you. With thanksgiving, I'm saying, God, here I am. Use me. Why? Writer of Hebrews says, because God is a consuming fire. You're not dealing with a little namby-pamby God. You're not dealing with a God that's been cut out by hand and set on some shelf. You are dealing with a God who is eternal, who is sovereign, who is a God that no one will be here when He's here, and no one was here in the beginning when He was here. He is the beginning and the end, the first and the last. You're not dealing with somebody who changes. You're dealing with God who is God, and there's none else. That's who you're talking to here. That's who you are sitting before this morning. That's who is present in this place, God. The consuming fire. You know what he deserves? our praise, our adoration, our service, our devotion. He deserves all that we have. You know what that means for those of you that have never trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? That means He deserves and demands that you repent of your sins and trust in His Son Jesus Christ today. That's what He deserves, and that's what He demands. I'm not asking you to do something. God's demanding you to do it. And that's the end of the story. We have come to a place of grace and a place of peace. Don't neglect the opportunity. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. And I pray that with a heart of gratitude, you will pray, God, thank you for letting me be a part, for calling me into your family, setting me apart for your great work and your great service, for your great glory. Thank you, God, for saving me. Lord, I can't even fully grasp what it means to be in the kingdom. I can't even fully understand what it means to be one of your own. Thank you, Lord. And I pray today, if there's anybody here under the sound of my voice that needs Jesus, they need the blood of Jesus, they need the work, the finished work of Jesus, they need Him to be their advocate, their mediator, they need Him to be their high priest, their sacrifice, they need Him because He's the only way of salvation. Oh God, I pray they will call out to you in repentance of their sin, and they'll trust Jesus by faith, be born again. Thank you, God, for what you're going to do. Thank you for moving in this place today. What a great God you are. There's none like you. You are a consuming fire. Lord, we just sit before you now. Do what you need to do. I'm going to call you to this altar to pray, to give thanks. I'm going to pray that you'll come. I'm not going to beg you, but I think we don't come and thank God and pray on our knees before Him enough. You come. As we sit before God, give Him praise. If you need to be saved, I'll help you. I'll lead you. It'll be worship to Jesus. It'll be worship to the Father if you'll give your life to Christ. You come. Can I ask one of our ladies to pray with you, or do you need to pray by yourself?
I can pray myself.
Okay. Will you pray with her? Will you pray with her? You know, God's bringing to my mind those three Hebrew children in the fire. Nebuchadnezzar threw them in there. There they are. Their bindings are burnt off. Their clothes don't even smell like smoke. They've not even been singed. In a furnace that the people that threw them in there died instantly. God can take you through the fire. God can help you walk through the flame. But the opposite of that is true as well. God can burn and there'll be nothing left. He is a consuming fire. He is holy. He is righteous. He is just. He is awe-inspiring. There's none in the universe like Him. He is faithful. He is truth. He is love. He is just. He's a God of mercy and grace. He's eternal. God, there is none like You. When You have spoken, we must respond. Oh, God, help us. God, help us to be obedient, to be humble, to walk holy before You in Your Spirit. God, help us to be people of grace because we have received grace. Help us to walk meekly. Help us to serve You wholly. Miss Dana, let's sing this together. Stand with us. Let's sing this song together. Worthy is the Lamb.